Getting back to immigration.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The debate over immigration reform has cooled off a bit recently, but the issue is still on the table. Or rather, it's on the floor of Congress. Today, lawmakers are taking their immigration plans to the people with field hearings in Pennsylvania and California. More now from Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington.
The hearings are a bit of legislative touche between the two chambers of Congress. The House has passed a narrow bill focused on toughening border security, which is the subject of today's House hearing near the border in San Diego. The Senate-passed bill creates a guest worker program and lets illegal immigrants seek citizenship. Not surprisingly, today's Senate hearing in Philadelphia is called Examining the Need for a Guest Worker Program. Demetrius Papadimitriou runs the Migration Policy Institute, a think tank.
This is not about discovery, not about sort of introducing new ideas. This is really about bragging rights to say, I held hearings, and the people that I had there testifying, and most of the people in the room, were supporting my viewpoint.
Despite the dueling echo chambers, Republican negotiators are also talking in private to see if they can cut a deal and send a bill to the president. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Those weren't fireworks over the Sea of Japan. They were missiles launched by North Korea. The country test-fired a seventh one today, even though the U.S. and other countries got pretty upset about the first six. Japan, in fact, has already announced some limited economic sanctions against North Korea. Jocelyn Ford reports.
Tokyo won't allow chartered flights, but there aren't many to begin with. And a ferry that travels between the two countries will be docked for 6 months. The ferry has been an important way for ethnic Koreans in Japan to deliver cash. Peter Ennis is editor of The Oriental Economist.
There's a lot of money that goes in suitcases in that illegal fashion.
But Ennis says Japan could do a lot more, for example, by cracking down on the illegal narcotics trade.
If Japan went all out to really, really squeeze the North Koreans, it would be very significant. It would hurt a lot.
Today, Japan said it might clamp down on bank remittances. Tokyo and Washington are also considering pressing the United Nations Security Council for economic sanctions. For sanctions to be a success, North Korea's top economic partners, China and South Korea, would have to be on board. In the past, they've opposed using economic pressure. I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
Smokers wanting to quit, here's something else to try. A new pill from Pfizer called varenicline. Today, the American Medical Association releases three studies about it. Now, the studies were paid for by Pfizer, but they do suggest it's easier to quit after taking this pill for a year. Analyst Les Funtleiter says considering how many people fail to quit smoking, Pfizer could have a $400 million drug here.
In general, that's not considered a blockbuster, but it's a nice-sized drug. And given that Pfizer needs to replace numerous products that are going off patent in its pipeline, it'll be helpful.
The FDA has already approved varenicline. A lot of smokers buy whitening toothpaste, I'm sure. Might want to check out the latest Consumer Reports. They tested 41 brands and found no real link between claims of whitening and actual stain removing. Only one brand stood out as a stain remover, Ultra Bright All-in-One Advanced Whitening. This is Marketplace. Hello, Cleveland. Or wait, is it Detroit? A lot of rock bands are on their summer tours, one city tonight, another city tomorrow night. Touring is vital to musicians, but it's also expensive, especially with the price of gasoline. Here's Lisa Napoli.
There's a reason you pay close to $500 a ticket, if you can get one, to see the Rolling Stones or Madonna. That entourage, the lights, the sets cost a fortune to haul around. Tour managers say they're budgeting twice what they used to for fuel. Gary Bongiovanni of Polestar says it's the not-yet-famous acts that'll really get hit this summer.
When gas was $1.50 a gallon, now that it's $3 or more, it's certainly going to have a much bigger impact on them.
But the show must go on. If artists expect to make it to the next level, Bongiovanni says they need to keep touring, whatever the cost. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters. The facts, without spin, as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. The Pennsylvania legislature just raised the state's minimum wage above $5.15 an hour, the federal level. It's the 19th state to do that. Meantime, Congress hasn't touched the minimum wage in a decade. Democrats want to make it a priority this summer, but Republicans are fighting back. Commentator Robert Reich says the GOP would be wise to choose another battle.
Between now and the midterm elections in November, Senate Democrats will be looking for every opportunity to add a minimum wage amendment to anything that moves in the Senate. The reason is simple. In poll after poll, more than 80% of Americans say they favor an increase. It's a matter of fairness. People ought to be paid more than $5.15 an hour, which comes to $10,712 a year for a full-time worker. At a time when garden variety chief executives are taking home $8 million a year, which comes to $3,846 an hour, and when the Bush tax breaks have given the highest paid an extra $60 an hour, it seems downright medieval for Republicans to deny someone a measly $1.85 an hour increase. Now, we can't raise the minimum wage too much, probably not more than another $2, without causing some employers to decide it's not worth hiring that extra person. From a purely economic perspective, a better way to make sure poor workers get a decent wage is through the Earned Income Tax Credit, a reverse income tax that supplements the wages of workers on the bottom by about $3,000 a year. But the minimum wage is also a moral statement about the minimum value of work in our society, and it's been dropping. In the late 1940s and 50s, the minimum wage stayed about half of the average wage of non-supervisory workers. It's now down to 31%, its lowest portion since World War II. After adjusting for inflation, today's minimum wage of $5.15 is at its lowest level since 1955. In today's dollars, it was $7.71 an hour in 1968. The last time it was increased was 10 years ago, and that increase has been completely eliminated by inflation. The basic question is what a decent society can afford to pay its lowest paid workers. Between 2002 and 2005, American productivity grew 10%, yet workers in the bottom tenth of the income range still lost ground, with an average wage drop of 3% in real terms. Some of this drop can be attributed to a flood of low-skilled, undocumented immigrants willing to work for peanuts, which is why unscrupulous employers are willing to run the risk of hiring undocumented workers. So here's the deal. Raise the minimum to $7 an hour and also increase dramatically penalties on employers who fail to pay it. If Republicans were smart, they'd add another provision, index the minimum wage to inflation, so they no longer have to take unpopular votes on the minimum wage every election season.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Your comments are always welcome. Go to our website, marketplace.org. And while you're there, check out one of our newest features, podcasting. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Proving your identity sometimes means